WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. I'm Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor, alongside Tanner Matlick in studio with us. I guess we'll start with the weather, you know, dealing with the conditions last night. You build a 8-0 lead, up 24-0 in the second half, hang on to win 24-16. What about just kind of dealing with the conditions last night? What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought the kids responded well. They knew coming in that Friday night's weather wasn't looking the greatest. Kind of downpoured on us a couple times there in the first half. And honestly, in the times it did that, it was funny. Our kids started playing with a little bit more energy. It's fun to fly around and play football in those types of conditions, especially with a little bit of a lead in those situations, up 8-0 against Macomb. So I was proud of how our kids responded to the weather conditions. I told them before the game, it's just rain. It doesn't change any of our concepts. It doesn't change any of how we should be executing. So, yeah, it was good for the kids to go out and play in a game like that. It's the first time we had to face the elements all year. We played in pretty nice weather all year, so yeah, it was a good effort last night in the rain.
And that's what I was going to say, you know, in terms of execution, where you worry about, are we going to be hang on to the football, or are there going to be, you know, mishandled snaps, things like that? Any of that stuff impact you last night, turning over the ball, stuff like that?
Our first drive, we had one bad snap over our quarterback's head that kind of killed our first drive. Then we had a ball dropped in the end zone on our first drive as well, but in those conditions, that type of stuff happens. You just have to keep fighting through it, keep playing the game. I thought everything we wanted to do was there last night. Kids did a good job for the most part of executing the game plan, and yeah, it was a good night of football for us.
Yeah, and you get to the finish line, right? Up 24-0, win 24-16. I guess just talk about kind of the final segment of the game, closing out with a victory.
Yeah, it was special teams kind of shot ourselves in the foot. We had a turnover on kickoff return, and then they got an onside kick recovered there to get a couple of extra possessions, and they scored off of those extra possessions. So that's kind of what it came down to in the third and fourth quarter, just the little things. And that's what we have been harping on the kids is these last few weeks of the season. Everybody has their schemes installed. Everybody kind of has a feel for what they're good at, what they're not good at. So it comes down to the little things, execution, special teams, stuff like that. So did we play as well as I wanted to down the stretch of that game? No, but I appreciated the kids' fight and grit there at the end to hang on against a pretty good ball club in Macomb.
Well, you talked about the weather a little bit ago, but you know, you look at your splits, 45 rushing attempts to 12 passes. Did that play much of an impact in kind of how you were calling plays last night?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you have a rain game like that, and we were running the ball really, really well, so I just kept telling myself on the sideline, keep doing what we're doing. We're having success running the football, inside run game with our quarterback. Tannen was able to burst a couple through the middle and on the outside as well. So, yeah, it played a part in the play calling. We weren't able to spread it out a ton with the wet football and the rainy conditions, but really proud of Colby Cox, how he operated the game as kind of a game manager and took over running the ball as well last night. Did everything he could to get that team a victory on both sides of the football. So, yeah, play calling was a little bit different for us last night, but we were able to establish a line of scrimmage and dominate in the run game.
And overall, offensively for you, how do you kind of feel about where you're at? Like, do you think you're more comfortable running the ball as opposed to throwing the ball at this point in the season, or where do you kind of think the confidence, I guess, lies in that sense?
Yeah, I think if you look at our stats, Ty, it indicate that we're the most comfortable running the football. But in my mind, there's a ton of stuff we do really well in the passing game. It's just finding the right opportunity to take advantage of what the defense is showing us. And a lot of the last few games, we've seen a ton of pressure. So we've been able to get to the outside a little bit in the run game with, like, quarterback stretch and speed option, B-back stretch, so stuff like that. But yeah, I'm comfortable running and throwing the football at this point. We do a lot of things really well, so I think we've executed well for the last 3 weeks.
All right, so at 5-3 now, and so obviously, you know, into the playoffs this year, do you spend much time, like, looking into potential playoff matchups yet? I know you have another regular season game, but I know for some people it's kind of hard to stay away from that. So have you looked into that at all yet, or what's kind of the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, we've started down the path of preparation for whoever we might play. There's probably 3 or 4 teams out there that we have a good feel for. Those might be the matchups for us. So over the course of the last week and then here into this morning, I've been texting a lot of coaches trying to get my hands on some film of teams we might play. But at the end of the day, the focus still this week is on West Hancock. We got to take this thing one game at a time. So all the game plan prep and stuff like that is going to be for West Hancock this week. It's a lot better to be 5-4 at the end of the season, or 6-3 at the end of the season, than it is to be 5-4.
Yeah, and I think the big mystery going into week 9 is not if there is going to be a game, but where where the game's going to be played at. So we'll wait. We'll get confirmation on where that is going to be played at, because a lot of people will say, well, who's West Hancock? Well, it's Hamilton, right? It's Warsaw. In the third school, does anybody know?
No.
Ty, do you know?
No idea.
Nauvoo Calusa! Come on, man.
They were coached by Reno. Earlier,
they were coached by Reno Pinkston.
Right.
Yeah. So I am even going to say this. Even Tanner's mom wants to know where the game's at, right? So she listens to Sportsline, as does his dad, who texted me about the greatest high school football team ever, the 1973 Rockets.
Love that.
All right, so, you know, I asked him, I can't remember, 2-3 at one time?
Yep.
So feel good about, you know, although you know got to play better, you know, it's about the W column. So you're trekking in the right direction of finishing on a, you know, 4-game winning streak if you take care of business next Friday.
Yep, yep. It's been a huge 3 weeks for us, both mentally and physically getting better at the game of football. I think we got some guys healthy, got some key contributors back into the fold. So, yeah, I'm really happy with how the kids have responded to all the adversity we faced this year, kept fighting, got us to 5-3 right now and trying to move the needle to 6-3 to end of the year and going to the playoffs, kind of rolling on that 4-game winning streak. So, again, can't overlook West Hancock. They got some good athletes on that team. We've watched some film of them here early this morning. Do some stuff really well. So just have to prepare this week for them and then see who we draw in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I remember doing a game at Hamilton one year, and I think the one end is like the old, like, Jack Murphy San Diego Padres, San Diego Charger Stadium, where there's like a baseball infield at one end of the
yeah, we've
field.
Seen that on film.
So I kind of dig that. And then Warsaw, I was there many years ago. They played Orion down there. And I remember it was like a early September or late August game, and they had not watered the field in like a drought summer. And the color of the field was just brown, other than the painting of the white lines and the hash marks. But what do you know about that team, West Hancock? You know much yet about them?
They throw the ball a ton offensively. They sit in kind of a four-man front, cover two shell, like to invert their safeties a little bit, down, play corner, drop their corners back, play safety, try to confuse the offense. But, yeah, they'll air it out offensively, which is surprising to me. Everything we've seen is a lot of the quick game to the outside, running like bubble screen, direct routes to their number one receivers. Don't really stretch the field vertically a ton in the passing game, but they try to just lull you to sleep underneath and then take their shots when the time presents itself. So our defensive backfield is going to have to come ready to play. It's almost going to be like a 7-on-7 game for us, the way they throw the ball so much. So got to get those guys ready. We haven't seen that style of offense where it's just complete air raid the whole game. So I'm excited for it as an offensive-minded guy going into a game like that, slinging the football around the yard a little bit, and hopefully we can do the same on our side as well.
So it's interesting, too, when you talk about weather, like in situations like last night, you look at some games or some teams and their identity, they feel they're better suited to play in the weather environments. Some teams feel better, hey, I want a dry track. You think there's like an identity with this team? Do they prefer playing in dry situations that benefit your game more, or do you think you're at a greater benefit when the conditions are sloppy like they were last night? Because over the next 5 weeks, when you go 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, if you're fortunate enough to play deep, you're going to get a weather game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what the identity of the team right now that you see, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say we're comfortable playing both. I would also say that we definitely have an advantage in a weather game. We have a quarterback that can mix it up. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. There was multiple times last night we got into 3rd and 3, and I was very comfortable calling inside quarterback run game just because I know Colby's going to go make contact with somebody and probably fall forward for 2 or 3 yards. So in those types of games, yeah, I think our team has an advantage in the sense that we have a dual threat quarterback who is a tank and a little scat back in Tannen Whitehall, who can make guys miss, keep the defense off balance. You never know where that kid's going to go or cut. There was multiple times last night where he kind of made the defense look silly with the way he was cutting across the field. So, Yeah, I feel like we have an advantage in those rain or adverse condition games, but I also feel confident in dry weather games too, with what we're able to accomplish on the offensive side of the ball and the diversity of our offense as well. So,
how many yards Whitehall have this year? You know,
total yards? I don't know off the top of my head, Jim. I'd have to go back and look at
that. Will he get 1,000 or not?
He should be pretty close, I would think.
So I tell you, that would be maybe the first sophomore back in history to get 1,000 yards. That's a year, man.
Yeah. So. He's having a heck of a year for us, for sure. And I'm excited about that kid's future. He busts his tail. He does things the right way. Works hard in practice all week. He's a great practice player. A lot of the kids that have a lot of talent don't really, you know, have a tendency to go super hard in practice. But Tannen is one of those kids who knows the importance of going game speed in practice and challenging himself to make himself better every single day.
Nothing else?
I got nothing else.
All right. Well, a chance to win out. Go 6-3 and play at West Hancock. And again, we'll find out for sure the location of that game next Friday, either in Warsaw or Hamilton. But nice going last night, on the right track, and we'll see you down in Hancock County at some location next Friday, Coach. Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
All right, Eagles get a nice win last night on senior night as they're able to knock off the Macomb Bombers, as they say, 24-16. We'll hear from Coach Johnston next on WMJ, WMJ.com.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both quality and fashion with designs for men, women, and youth. Stop in at 6140 Run to check out the expansive selection of Hey Dude shoes in stock now. They remind you not to be fooled by online sites selling Hey Dudes. Make sure your pair are authentic at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Right now, buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get a second 50% off.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
And welcome back to Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking with Sherrard head coach Brandon Johnston after a 19-7 loss to Erie Prophetstown in Week 8. And Coach Johnston, as we start, I know just kind of watching you talk to the kids after the game, it looked like a pretty disappointed group out there. So just kind of talk a little bit about the message and the feeling with a disappointing loss here in Week 8.
Yeah, we knew coming in, we thought this was a pretty good team, despite what their record showed. I don't think they were healthy early in the year, and I think they're getting healthy, or maybe they are fully right now. But, you know, we didn't think that their record was indicative of the quality of team that we were up against tonight. So we knew we'd have to play really well to win. Obviously, conditions probably didn't favor us, but you know, they're playing in the same conditions we were. You know, I think we turned it over 4 times, you know, which happens, I guess, sometimes in a game like this, but, we didn't get many, back from them. So, you know, they played better than us. Tip your cap to them. They held on to the football for the most part, I think, and they took advantage of some mistakes that we made.
Well, you talk about the conditions and, you know, it was basically pouring all night long. And we talked about this, Eric and I, throughout the broadcast. It just felt like the way that Sherrard plays offensively, There probably are a few teams who this type of weather would affect more than you offensively. So how much do you think that impacted the offensive output tonight? I mean, can you really put it into words?
Quite a bit, I think. I mean, everybody knows we got to throw the ball to for our offense to really be clicking. You know, Holland obviously is a big factor. You know, when we can't get the ball to Carter very often, you know, that's obviously a big factor. You know, it looks like we ran for, you know, not very many yards, and you got to be able to do that, especially on a night like tonight. But yeah, you know, for us to have success, we got to be diverse. That's kind of what we've hung our hat on is being able to spread the field and get the ball to a lot of different players. But you know, your reality is you're going to play in games like this in this spot of the country. So you know, disappointed for our kids for sure, and you know, thought we. thought we could have maybe played a little better than what we did, but you know, just a lot of factors tonight, and sure didn't seem like we caught very many breaks tonight.
Was there anything offensively you tried to maybe adjust with the weather? I mean, I don't know what really you could try to do more with the conditions, but what, I guess, were you trying to do maybe in the second half after you played the first half with the heavy rain?
Well, we were hoping, of course, to get a score there to start the half, and then we would have had the lead, and I think our offense would have maybe looked a little bit different in the second half. But you know, when we go down two scores, obviously we, you know, especially us, we have to throw the ball to try to play catch up, which of course is tough on a night like tonight. So you know, point to a lot of things, and the weather certainly impacted us. But you know, we got to take care of the ball a little bit better for sure. Good teams are going to capitalize on those mistakes, and like I said, I think that's a pretty good team.
Well, you talk about kind of feeling like there was a little bit of bad luck involved tonight too, and the touchdown drive for them when they were trailing 7-6 and ended up scoring, I think Eric had it for about 7.5 minutes where they had the ball in the second quarter, just 44 yards they went, but on that drive they fumbled 4 times and recovered all of them, and 2 of them were on 4th down plays where they picked it up and went to the outside and got first downs, and those 2 plays to me felt like such backbreakers, because it's like you never see a play like that, and for it to happen twice on a drive, I don't even know really a question to ask about that, but it felt pretty deflating up here. I'm sure it did on the sideline too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought unfortunately we had those 2 4th downs defended pretty well, it looked like, and then for them to fumble it and pick it up and get on the edge, you know, it just kind of wasn't our night. I was thinking there early in the fourth quarter when they had the ball, I thought, you know, gosh, it's got to be our turn to get one of these sloppy field fumbles to bounce our way, and it just never did. So, you know, again, we didn't play very well, conditions or not. I don't think we played good enough to win, and they certainly did.
And now just 2 penalties for 10 yards against you tonight, but one of the penalties that didn't end up going for yardage was an offsetting penalty where you score a touchdown on a running play from Holland Anderson, and then the penalty that really hurt was – you had it, I think, 1st or 2nd and goal from the 3, and a false start moves you back to the 8 late in the first half, and you end up not being able to score a touchdown there. And we talked about it. Just felt like getting in front was so important in this game with the conditions. So not penalized a lot, but it felt like killer penalties tonight when they were called.
Yeah, they're all costly to some extent, and you know, those certainly, like you said, stuck out tonight. You know, that was a big drive to, as you said, 1st and goal from the 3, I think, is what we had. And especially on a night like tonight, you get that close, you got to find ways to get the ball in the end zone. But, you know, we had some stuff that we thought was looking pretty good with Holland to keep the ball. And that was that touchdown run that got called back and again, offsetting penalties. But, you know, that was kind of part of our second half game plan too. But like I said, when we dug ourselves a 2-score hole, we kind of had to wipe that clean and try to take some chances throwing the ball a little bit more. So, but yeah, you know, pretty costly stuff. Like I said, it's all costly when you add it up. You know, pretty sloppy game for us, and EP took advantage of that. So tip your cap to them.
All right, obviously now the playoff hopes dashed tonight with this loss to Prophetstown, but one more home game to play next week, senior night against Monmouth Roseville for the Tigers. So with 1 week left in the season now, what are you trying to get accomplished heading into the final week of the year next week?
Well, we talked about that a little bit after the game down on the field. The biggest thing for us is you know, coming out and playing our best and you know, sending our seniors off the right way. I really don't follow it too awful much, not anywhere near as much as I used to, because I was never right on the playoff projections. But last I heard, there's several people projecting some 4 and 5 teams to make it, and I know we're going to have quite a few playoff points. So, you know, we told our kids we probably need some help for sure. But we said that you know, that's still possible for us. But for sure, it's not going to be possible if we don't win next week. So that's got to be our focus, and to do that for our seniors on senior night is you know, that's going to be the biggest message moving forward.
Chartered Coach Brandon Johnson joining us. Tigers fall in week 8, 1970, Erie Prophetstown. Coach, thanks for talking with us. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ty.
I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ. More coming up next.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Foot comfort is important at work. Have you noticed your feet slipping from poor traction? Do your feet slide inside your boots or shoes? If so, it's time for a new pair of Red Wing and Wolverine work boots from 6140 Run. Red Wing boots are abrasion resistant, waterproof, insulated, and come in both safety and soft toe. Wolverine is built for durability. Tackle a tough job or outdoor activity with Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. They come in casual styles too. For hard-working quality and comfort, see 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
And welcome back to Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor talking with the head coach of the Orient Chargers, Chip Filler. Chargers fall at home to Monmouth Roseville in week 8, 49-35. And Coach Filler, as we start, just kind of looking at the summary last night, you got down by 21 points, I think, three separate times, but were able to battle back and cut it to a one-score deficit a couple of different times throughout the night. So with kind of how the last 5 weeks have gone, I'd assume you got to be pretty proud of the fight the kid showed last night, not just kind of rolling over and giving up when you got down 21-0.
Well, no, I absolutely, like, you know, this is the first time in 5 weeks that I've really came home and been like, well, you know what, we've accomplished something instead of being just in misery, you know. You know, everything that's gone on this last week with outside of football and everything else, like, it would have been easy for these boys to just give up and quit, but being down 21 a couple, like I said, a couple different times, and they just fought their tails off the entire night. And you know, we were within 7 a couple times, and you know, Coach Adelson had to have a heart attack, couldn't believe that we were coming back. So I was really, really, really excited and very proud of our kids.
Well, you know, obviously another really crooked number defensively where they go on to score 49 points. And that's kind of been, I think, what's held you back this year is the defensive side of the ball. So last night, what was, I guess, not working defensively that allowed Monmouth Roseville to put up 49 points, you think?
Well, I mean, like we said in our pregame and when I talked to you, the things that they're really good at, we are really bad at. And, you know, we had a hard time tackling at times. Although we were better, you know, just disciplined football. There are things they got us on. They got us on a couple outside veers. The quarterback got some good runs, you know, and our outside linebackers kind of fell asleep, but didn't do quite what they're supposed to do. And you know, and when you're playing an option team or a veer team, you know, you have to do your job. You have to be very disciplined and responsible. And we just weren't. And those are the things that have killed us in all season long. But you know, I was really proud of our guys. Just the fight, just the initiative, just to keep battling was really great.
Well, you got 4 touchdown passes from Kale again last night, 2 to Jake Bainbridge, 2 to Owen Voorhees. All 3 of those kids, of course, will be back next year for you. And like we talked in the pregame with you last night, you know, with how the season has gone, you want to look to see what you can build towards next year. And I think, you know, the passing attack you'll have returning next year should be pretty dynamic. So it looked like another big night for some young kids that are going to play a big role next year.
Yeah, I was looking at the film last night, and I had to call my assistant coach, Coach Boland, who usually does our cut up and everything else. And I know we were missing some plays, but at least I think we're missing some plays. Like, I truly believe that Kale set a school record for passing yardage last night. I think he was way over 400, and then his 4 touchdowns. And just to know that, like, you have that in your back pocket. And I'll give you this, and I don't know if you heard Kyle's interview late last night, but in the third quarter, we have a gun run with Kale, and his contacts pop out. So he plays the entire second half not being able to see. And I may just take his contacts out from him permanently and not let him see. I mean, because his second half was outstanding. And he's like, he walks over to me, he's like, don't, you can call the number if you want on the wristband, but don't give me any hand signals because I can't see your hand signals. And I'm like, what? I have no contacts. They fell out of my eyes. So I'm playing without any contacts, and I don't know what the score is, and I can't see the scoreboard. So you just call the plays. It was really great how we managed that whole thing. And, you know, kids would panic that way, but not him. He just was very even keeled and was pretty awesome.
And looking ahead to next week, now one game left on the season, home game with Riverdale, a game definitely, you know, heavily favored in. So what are you looking forward to next week on senior night for the Chargers to wrap up the regular season?
Well, you know, it's just like any other senior night. You know, honestly, it doesn't matter what the record is. We want to make sure that our seniors go out the right way. And, you know, this is their last time that they'll be on their field. And for many of them, this may be the last time they ever play football again. I mean, you don't get to put the pads on after high school unless you're very fortunate enough to play in college. And there's some guys that this will be the last time they do that. And we want to make sure that their last memory of football, high school football, and on their field is a good one. So, I mean, there's still really a lot to play for, at least on our end, with going in and playing Riverdale and, you know, sending people out the right way.
Oregon head coach Chip Filler joining us this morning as the Chargers set for week 9 next week with Riverdale. Coach Filler, thanks for talking with us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ty, appreciate it. Hey, thanks for everything this year, man. You guys have been amazing.
Yep, thanks a lot, Coach. And we're back with more on WRMJ after this.
At Country Financial, we're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through town. We are part of a community that helps support the programs that make our neighborhoods thrive. We take the time to get to know our customers. We know that every situation is unique, and our goal is to understand yours so we can help you be confident about your financial security and your future. To talk about how we can help ensure that the future you're dreaming of is something you can proudly own no matter what it looks like, see your local Country Financial representative.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo, and we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Jim, as we head into the middle point of the month of October, lots to think about, like the volleyball postseason and the football playoffs. And there is just an abundance of topics to mention today.
Yeah, I know with the fall sports season winding down, what a week from Monday, you start the high school volleyball postseason. And, of course, next Friday and Saturday, it's the conclusion of the regular season for high school football. And a week from Saturday, we have the playoff pairings announced. Some fall sports are already over, and, right, you have a state champion in your area.
Yes, we sure do. Thomas Hero from Scales Mound, part of the River Ridge Scales Mound Co-op, won the Class 1A State Golf Championship last weekend down at Bloomington. And he said last year he finished tied for 68th. He knew he was better than that, so he devoted a year to improving his game. And boy, did it show up last weekend.
Holy smokes, going from 68th place to a state title. Now, Scales Mound, we know about their storied history with basketball, the recent history anyway. But again, for our listeners in our area, the one thing I always look at with Scales Mound that's such a crazy story. All right, so for golf, they co-op with River Ridge, which is an Illinois school, play in the state series in Illinois for golf. But then Scales Mound in football, they co-op with the Wisconsin school and they play in the Wisconsin state series. Is that right?
That is correct, yes. In fact, now it's a tryout. For many years, it was Benton and Scales Mound. Now Schulzburg is in there, so it's a three-school tryout. And very interesting that the kids at Scales Mound have a chance to participate in the Wisconsin postseason, although they will not do so this year with just a couple of wins.
Well, crazy, though, then the basketball coach at Scales Mound is also the head football coach of that tryout. So he gets to coach in the Wisconsin State Series, well, if they would qualify, and then coach in the basketball state tournament series in Illinois. And he's being recognized, right, as one of the Coach of the Year candidates by the IHSA?
Yes, the IHSA named him Illinois Basketball Coach of the Year, and that includes all four classes. Now he is a national finalist for the NFHS Award, which will be presented likely or announced in January.
All right, so this week the IHSA, they announce the selection of the new IHSA board president, a principal from Notre Dame College Prep in Niles, Illinois. Dan Tully is his name. The IHSA was organized in 1903. And Brian, this is the first non-boundary school principal to lead the organization. So we debate, you know, a lot of this, you know, public-private stuff. So this, I think, is another step for me to tell people, ain't never going to happen, separate state tournament series for private schools and public schools in Illinois. And I'll say it publicly, I don't think there ever should be separate state series for public and private schools, because once a school wins that state title that's a public school, immediately the fan base will say, man, I wish we could play the private school this year and see who the true state champion is. But I think that's just another domino that says, you know, if the president of the IHSA board is from a non-boundary school, I don't envision, again, separate state series ever happening for public and private schools.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I'm kind of surprised it took this long for that kind of candidate to be elected to the presidency. But yeah, you think about it, and I know, like, in Wisconsin, they went to, you know, private and public leagues, or as far as, you know, state championships, and then they went back because it just didn't seem like that was competitive in some of the divisions. And I think, you know, as much as a lot of public people speak out against private schools and recruiting and you know, the things that, you know, all the great advantages they have, I think when it comes down to it, you know, it's best for athletics to have all those schools mixed together.
And the other note I wanted to mention, and I meant to bring this up a couple weeks ago, the first ever NIL deal involving an Illinois high school student, that's allowed now, is a runner from Normal Community High School Alliance signing a deal with New Balance. And again, the IHSA announced these name, image, likeness deals that high school athletes could enter into. And we have the first one at the IHSA level. I'm assuming that probably more are coming, do you think?
I would sure think so. And I'm guessing, but I could be wrong, I'm guessing that you'll probably see more of that in the individual sports, just because it's easier to kind of, you know, pick out athletes and such. But yes, I think you're going to see more. And I know you said off the air, I kind of agreed with you, we'd love to see the terms to see what it's worth, because, you know, if it's a ton of money, then you're like, wow. And if it's not much, you're like, okay, you know. But, yeah, I guess it's a brave new world, and we just have to get used to it.
Yeah, the student-athlete here from Normal Community, Allie Ince, is an 8-time state champion, and she'll be, it says right here in the story, Ince will be compensated financially for the deal. Again, it's with the shoe company New Balance. So, again, high school athletes in Illinois, they can strike NIL deals. That's name, image, likeness. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both